Yes, hello and welcome to a live podcast. My name is Björn Darko, and today I'm speaking again. It's the third time to Wanda Puckes. Wanda is team lead and lead SEO lead at Ladenzeile, one of the top 10 e-commerce brands in Germany. We are sitting live at the British Academy of Film and Television Arts, so at the BAFTA, where the British Oscars are being handed over to spectacular new movies, directors, and also authors. And we are sitting here because you are speaking at the Bodify Connect event. You have been just participating in the panel, and I thought it's a good idea to talk to you because I know your history, and I know that you just transitioned. Like you made a lot of transitions. Actually, every podcast that we already recorded was about your transition, and now it's the third transition that you do as a former manager to a team lead or managing people. And I want to get some insights from you, what it did for you, like what kind of challenges did you face and what you learned from it. So welcome, Wanda.
Thank you. Hey, Björn. Nice to see you again after a few months in person. And I think it's actually a very nice occasion because for the first podcast that we did together, we talked about getting into SEO. And now we are for the third time talking about getting into leadership within SEO. So looking forward to this.
I think, again, like I think you have like an incredible career behind you now. I mean, between the first podcast and this podcast might be 2 years. Within these 2 years, you have been developing from a SEO that was purely focusing on link building to a role within product. You know, became also interims wise a product owner. You know, you got your hands dirty into product management, and now you lead actually a team within product management. And besides of that, you also, you know, making your ways to be an international speaker. That's why you're also here today. You just recently spoke also at Brighton and SMX, which is, you know, most probably the biggest conferences, search conferences in Europe. So how has it been for you the last 2 years? Sounds like a lot has happened for you. Would you have been thinking about it 2 years ago that we now sit here and everything has happened in between?
No, I couldn't have imagined, honestly. I mean, I was always a little bit interested, you know, in speaking, and then especially always had, I mean, not always, but for the past 2-3 years for sure, started developing an interest in, you know, leading a team and leading a team also within Ladenzeile or outside. And it's just a little bit surreal now. Like I'm just, as you said, off a panel at Bodify Connect, and it's so surreal after all these conferences and really, like, you know, now for the past 3-4 months being in this leadership role, how much can change in such a relatively short period of time. And it really feels like a bit of an acceleration in the past years. We need to keep in mind that I've only been in the sort of professional working world for 4.5 years or so. So it's been a lot, but it's been good.
I mean, I know that you have been preparing yourself also for this managerial role, but is it like is it something that you think it's completely different from the work that you have done before, or is it just like an add up on something that you now can accelerate from your vision and ideas?
It's something that I'm still honestly figuring out, and figuring it out in a way that letting go of, in a way, also control over day to day tasks, and, you know, truly giving that trust, building a team who you can trust. You know, that's the goal of every leader, I think. But I am definitely in this transition period where I still do, you know, I still have my own projects. I still jump in, you know, when there's need for someone else for an analysis or to brainstorm, etc. But now there are also these new tasks and really trying to, you know, create a vision, making sure that we have a good overview, you know, a good strategy, which obviously we had a good baseline for that. So I'm lucky in that I'm moving into this leadership position within a company where I have been working for the past, you know, 4 years by then. So that's obviously makes things a little bit easier. But yes, as said, I'm still kind of testing the waters and planning to really leave the day to day, you know, to the team and kind of really focus also on driving that vision.
Even though that I know that you wanted to get into this manager role, is there anything where you would say, okay, this I would like to have been knowing before, actually, which completely surprises you, or you wouldn't have even thought of?
I think the thing is that, like, how much work actually goes into also making sure that, you know, your team feels good, etc., and at the same time not overdoing it. It's very hard for me at the moment still to be that lead who can make, you know, the decision and who can kind of also point out the negative things in obviously you know, a more positive way, but to deal with any feedback, you know, that is not so positive, and to provide that feedback obviously always from a building up people perspective. I mean, I wouldn't say I didn't expect it. I just didn't expect it to be so difficult to switch the mindset, especially that I became team lead from a team which I was part of already beforehand. So making this kind of switch and finding your role as a lead and what kind of leader you want to be, is a little bit more challenging, but also, of course, exciting than I expected.
Yeah, I mean, not even being part of the team before, you are some of your team members now also were kind of a lead position before you. Like, and I think that's a very special circumstance and a very hard circumstance to manage. Like, if others would be in that position, what did you learn so far?
Yeah, well, first of all, I had a lot of fear because of that, on how will the team take it, you know, and so on. As you said, that two of my team members actually been in leadership positions before, but I was lucky enough. So I would say, don't build up unnecessary worry and fear in yourself before you even jumped into that role. Because if, you know, you got along with your team members, especially, you know, as teammates, as people, etc., they are not going to stand there and be against you just because now you made this step to becoming a team lead. And I think what's important to understand and communicate to your team that, in my case, for example, they are all seniors. They have actually more years of experience than I do. I am not at least that's how I look at it. I am not in a more senior position or whatever. I don't look at them as more junior than me. It is just a different role with different responsibilities. And we need to find a way, of course, to work together as a team so that we can reach our goals.
Yeah. For a leader, like also from my perspective, being in leadership roles in several years now. So sometimes you just start to copy paste what you learn from other leaders and stuff like that. And then there's a point where you develop like kind of your own way of run meetings, your own way to run, I don't know, one-on-ones and stuff. Is there already something that you make different than all your leaders before, for example, where you said, okay, this is something that I actually wanted my leader also to change all the time, and now I'm doing it because I have it. It's in my own hands.
I think I'm a little bit too early for that in this experience. I'm more like experimenting at the moment, to be honest. So I started doing things, for example, actually documenting sure fixes, you know, in like just in a private one-on-one Confluence page or something like that, documenting the one-on-ones just so that we are all clear on what are the expectations that maybe we discussed against each other, etc. I have to say, it's actually doesn't go so well because most of the sure fixes are so really like I started it the first few times, and then in most of our sure fixes or one-on-ones or whatever you want to call it, it just becomes, you know, a conversation. We know each other for years now, and it becomes a conversation, and it's nice to note down, you know, things, anything that we actually action points we agreed on, but it doesn't necessarily need to be in a formal setting. At least in our case, at the end, it just doesn't work, you know? So, but I'm really like experimenting with things like that at the moment. And what I really want to build in is a little bit more structure, while at the same time still keeping the flexibility that I know that my team really loves. So yeah, that's kind of the plan, and I'm still working on how to kind of build it into actual action.
I mean, that's always kind of a positive side of developing it. But as you said, right, if you don't follow a structure, for example, and you have like a more an open conversation, I mean, you're noting down action points, but how do you see how do you see it to hold your team accountable for things that you discuss where you not put a name now behind an action item, but you kind of discuss openly, okay, we should do this, and do you want to take this and stuff like, and then comes actually the leadership part where you need to follow up and keep people being accountable. How do you manage this?
Yeah, I mean, even though we don't necessarily always note down everything, you know, on like strict documentation, we do work with tickets, obviously, which means that at the end of the day, together as a team in our refinements, etc., we do assign a ticket to a name, so we know who is on top of a topic. I do tend to these days also look at where I think the strengths of certain of my team members can be really utilized, whether it comes down to not like really like a technical, like an SEO strength, but more to, I know that they have been already in contact with this other team and that they have been working on similar topics, so that it makes sense for them to be on that topic. Still, I would never really just assign something to someone because I want their buy-in. But you know, kind of give a recommendation, so to say, and once that ticket or epic or whatever you want to say is assigned to a person, then it's easier to keep them, of course, accountable, because then that ticket needs to move its way through, you know, our board, and it needs to eventually reach being done. But it can get difficult sometimes, to be honest.
Well, I think it's a very good approach with, like, you know, putting the work on tickets, so you have people assigned to it. They are accountable, they're responsible for it. And then you create actually a frame where you always can pinpoint to this person, say, okay, why is that not done, right? Is there any blocker? Do you need help and stuff? So it creates actually a frame to manage people on the job, so to speak, right?
And what I also try to do these days is to really give ownership, you know, to team members, to be like, okay, you are the driver of this. I want you to, in a, you know, like a meeting, to actually then hold a presentation about it, you know, when it needs to be, and really like own it and drive it. And I'm there to help and brainstorm with you if needed and so on, and to support and to jump in if you're on holidays or sick leave or whatever. But I want you to be the owner and driver, because you're very well capable to do that.
Especially if you say you have a lot of seniors, that's exactly what I also do. So I expect actually from a specific or from a special seniority that they, everything that you just pointed out, they can do by themselves. And it doesn't need me, or it doesn't need you to tell them each and every step what to do, right? Here's the problem, fix it, right? And everything that belongs to it. And this actually brings me to my next point, because I mean, as a leader itself, you know, you have your team and you can design that pretty much as you like it. But then you also have like stakeholders, right? And you have also the management. So, and you, from my perspective, you always like, you know, you move between three dimensions or three worlds, right? Within the team, you can pretty much build trust and you pretty much can be honest and candid, right? Within stakeholders, sometimes you have to keep your opinion by yourself. Whereas in the team, you can openly share feedback, for example. Even more special situation when you speak to management, right? Because you're kind of in a sandwich position from my perspective, where, you know, you try to drive something from the team perspective, but then the management comes from on top and tries to, you know, waterfall style, tell you what to do, right? And you always sit in between and have to find the right sweet spot. And the stakeholder comes also and wants something from you that most necessarily doesn't fit into your roadmap or into your vision and stuff like that. How do you handle this as a young leader, so to speak?
Yes, the nice good old politics. I have to change that since you left, since I took over the leadership of the team, in general, a lot has changed in the company, which means that we are trying to actually be a little bit less hierarchical and really make sure that everybody in the team, especially in the leadership team, from like mid-level management, is really like taking the ownership, you know, which makes things a little bit simpler, but it's still, it's very difficult, especially because within the team, we do have this trust and we do talk about a lot of things, but we have a very good understanding that that is within this circle of trust. And we are professionals, we are, you know, respect our colleagues. And once we have an aligned opinion, that is what we are taking outside of the team. So that works well. When it comes to the other side, this is has been a bit different. I was fearing this, let's put it this way, before I got into this role, because I am the type of person who just speaks a lot, you know, and likes to speak and likes to be honest and very much respect and look up to my colleagues. So I was fearing, like, as a leader, there will be things that I cannot share with my team, or at least I cannot share the whole story, or not yet. There's just going to, because as much as my team is, in this case, the SEO team, my team is also the leadership team. You know, I am a player in a number of teams. So how do you bring all this together? I was fearing this. So far, so good. I've been very transparent with my team that I will be, because I know that we've been used to also from you a lot of transparency, as much as you could give, I guess, that I will do the same, but there will be things that I might not be able to share. And they seem to understand that, obviously very smart people. So that's not really an issue for now.
In the very beginning of my career, this I was eating myself from the inside when I knew there was kind of layoffs happening, when I knew there was kind of restructuring happening, right? And, you know, you've already built kind of a trust situation within your team, but you're not allowed to share, right? And they have already kind of feelings and they ask you, hey, is there something going on? And you have to lie to them, right? Even though you would say, I can't say anything, then they know, okay, it's true, right? So it's a very tricky situation. In the very beginning, I was so, it was so hard for me, but of course, over the years, you kind of manage the feeling with it, right? And, but for me in the beginning, it was one of the hardest parts. Yeah. To, at the one side, build the trust and tell, hey, we are always open. We always share feedback. We always like be friends, right? And on the other side, lie to them straight in the face. It's a really hard situation.
It is hard, especially what you said, friends. And because I've been sitting in this team, I am very friendly with you know, all my team members, which is a very, very good thing. But then, yeah, that amazing thing makes other things much harder, you know. So, yeah, that's true.
Was there a situation where you had to be loud?
Not yet, not really. But and I would like to, you know, avoid that. It's, I need to be conscious because I'm a passionate person. And actually, just like a week or two ago when I was in Italy, my twin sister gave out to me because she was like, you're so like rude, you know, whatever. And I'm like, I'm not, I wasn't even meaning it. I'm just, you know, passionate. So in like this, you know, obviously with the team and in the professional environment, etc., I need to be careful of like toning myself down a little bit, you know. So no, didn't have to be loud, but I did have to make some mentions of like, you know, people should be on time for a meeting, you know, like, come on, like, you know, being always 1 or 2 minutes late, like, you know, we are busy people here. So I had to make some like little notes like that, but.
Yeah, that's also something like these little things, right? Being too late to meetings, you know, not appearing at meetings at all. And so without, you know, communicating, hey, I'm running late because of X, Y, Z and stuff. I mean, of course you try to be good and you try to be friends, but then there's also situations like this where, you know, it's about professionalism, right? And, you know, also the picture that other stakeholders have at your team, if they always come 2 minutes late, then what kind of a picture that throws you to you as a leader, right? And yeah, it's a very balanced act, I would say. Now, as you also, you know, made an amazing speaker career so far, right? I just mentioned it in the beginning, SMX Brighton. Now you're being invited also to Spotify Connect here in London. How important do you think is that kind of you know, situation for you as an international speaker now, from a role model perspective for your team members?
I would say that in the current team, as said, you know, I've been knowing this team for years. They anyway knew me. So it's, I don't know if it makes such a dramatic difference as it would if I would be having, you know, new team members. For example, I actually have two new team members who are content managers in my team. And I've been getting some, like, you know, cool feedback from them. You know, they are like very happy for me, and it's like, you know, very nice to see, etc. So I would say, especially when it comes to younger colleagues as well, I think it can be a pretty cool thing to see. But for me, the biggest benefit, which really I feel from this, is the networking side. As a lead, I get to meet so many people, a lot of them also in leadership positions, in these conferences, with whom I can then exchange, you know, when it comes down to things. Even if we are competitors, you know, without going into too much detail, we can like help each other out a little bit, brainstorm, like, you know, etc. So that's really the biggest benefit I feel. But I think in the future, as I continue with my speaker career, as well as in hopefully in leadership, I think from a personal perspective, for me, it was very cool when you as my lead were doing these things and I saw you do it, and it gave me inspiration. And you, of course, also provided me with, you know, support, etc., to also want to do something like this. And not everybody needs to do this, but if there's just one person in your team who has, you know, the inclination to something like this, then it's very cool that they have a role model within their team, you know, that they can look up to.
It's so funny, because when I joined now my new company, I mean, the French team doesn't know my name, right? In Germany, it's something different because of the podcast, of course, and also some of the, presentations that I gave. But I found it so funny because, you know, one of the very first meeting with the team lead of mine, I asked him, okay, how do you feel about the new situation and stuff? And what he replied was, well, at least they didn't send any douchebag, but they sent somebody that at least knows something, right? Because they know me from the podcast and stuff. So I think it helps, especially if you're joining in a new job and you already have kind of visibility within the industry, to build trust from the beginning. That's for sure, right? Yeah. And I think also like that, you know, because now I have a team that's international and they share the opinion among each other. Hey, do you know this guy is coming and stuff? He's in Germany, has a podcast and blah, blah, blah. It's not about me, but it's about this, hey, building an authority and building trust, having visibility, that they have the feeling, okay, there's somebody that really takes it serious and knows what he's talking about. I think that's very important. And also for me, this, because you also said it, like bringing ownership to the team, right? That's always something for me, you know, as long as you have a sense of ownership and you have the passion to drive it, you know, people will always be looking up to you and will be inspired by the passion and by the drive that you have. And I think that's something that you also share, definitely. But maybe this one as a last question, like, because, you know, most probably a lot of people looking into transitioning to a managerial role. And I have a strong belief that not every person is made for it, right? What do you think does a person have to have in order to become a good leader?
First of all, I would say that not everybody has to be a leader in the traditional sense of you have a title of a leader. That's not what makes up a leader. You know, anybody can get a title by whatever means. So I think what's needed is, first of all, you do need a certain level of really experience. So I think it doesn't mean that you can only become a leader after you've worked for 10 years and, you know, but you need to be, as fast as you build that up, it doesn't matter, but you need to know what you are doing. And build up that trust already before you get into a leadership with your stakeholders, with your team members, and so on. And beyond that, I think you need a lot of empathy, a lot of patience, and you need to be, I mean, as cliche as that is, a good communicator. But what does that mean? Not just like, okay, you can, you know, speak fast enough, but like you need to be able to listen, which I'm working on still, active listening, you know. But you need to be able to also change your language to your audience, stakeholders, management, your team. So these are important things. And then you need to try it out. And to be honest, it could very well be that you become team lead or whatever, and then you're like, actually, this is a lot more different things than I thought this was gonna be, and that's okay. Then go back and become, you know, focused on, I don't know, tech SEO or whatever you're interested in. That's also fine.
Yeah, I totally agree with you, especially on the empathy thing. I would actually extend it from the empathy. I think you have to be a person that also loves the life, and not only loves the life, but loves the lives of the person, because each and every person has a different life, different problems, and brings a different story to it, right? So to put it negative, the more people you manage, the bigger the shit show, right? And you have to be okay with dealing all of this, right? Oh, my mom got sick, and hey, my dog is sick. Hey, I can't come to work because of equals. Like, you know, very simple reasons, but for them it's very important, right? And it's not only empathy but it's also like, you know, understanding people and loving the different ways people act and people think and people work without judging it too much. I think that if you manage this well, then I think everybody's kind of, you know, kept in the same frame, in your leadership framework, so to speak. Yes. Anyways, it was nice talking to you. And it's the third podcast. Maybe you make a fourth in somewhat's time. When you make your next transition, probably you will be my transition podcast guest. And thanks for joining, and thanks for listening.